Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the mirrors all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then blue bump and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love. Hello, podcast listeners. This is Mrs. Atto.
And this is Mr. Adam.
Thank you for joining us for another week here at By the By.
Mm-hmm. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, and happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, if you're listening on Wednesday, today is Valentine's Day. You better have gotten your sexy gifts and going on. And if it's after Wednesday, hopefully you had a lovely, lovely Valentine's
Day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, did you get me anything for Valentine's Day?
Well, I can't tell you because it's not Valentine's Day yet.
Well, yeah, but it is for the listeners at home.
No.
It is for all the microphone people.
No, I got you me.
No, I already had you.
I know. Same old, same old. Nothing exciting.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
That's okay. I still like you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you usually keep receipts, so.
You can always return me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was just glancing outside. It's beautiful. The sky is purple.
See,
the sky looks like the bisexual flag. In fact, I got you
a bisexual flag sky for Valentine's Day.
I'm going to step outside and take a picture. Talk amongst yourselves.
Uh-huh. So we'll take a mild break here. And now we're back.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. Should we talk about what's upcoming and what's happened?
Yes, let's talk about what's upcoming. All right. Let's talk about what we've just recently did.
Yeah.
So Sunday we were at the Sydney Queer Erotic Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to present there. That was fun.
That was exciting. Yeah, we got to go and we talked about bisexuality, the importance of recognizing it, and also bi invisibility. All different facets of it, and what can we do to kind of help start mitigating that? It was a really good talk.
Yeah, it was well received. I was all nervous because, you know, knowing me, it was like, I don't know, 12 graphs because I like my data. It makes me feel safe and comfortable. excuse me. And it was a blast. I really had more fun than I expected to. And we hope to partner with them again in the not too distant future and present at other things that they do.
Yeah, it was really good. There was good discussion around some of the different points and things even during the talk, so that was good. I like having that be a bit more discussive as opposed to just, you know, stand up and lecture people.
I agree. We do that enough.
Yeah.
We sit down and lecture people with our alcohol. And so, yeah, it was nice to have a back and forth. The discussion and the conversations were beneficial. So that was Sunday.
Do you want to talk about Rule 34?
Oh my God, do I? So last Wednesday, we did Rule 34, and we did our performance. And for all of you podcast listeners out there who came and saw us, and that was, we had a large group.
We had a good cheering squad.
That
was very special.
It really was lovely. Yeah. You guys know who you are, and we really, really appreciate you. I think we had 10 people there that were there to celebrate us, and considering I think there was 110 or so people there, period, to think that we had 10% of the crowd sort of already in our corner was so lovely. It was great. But what we did was Schlong the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
I am not making any promises, but I do happen to know for sure that it was videotaped.
Interesting.
So we're going to talk to the facilitator of Rule 34 and see if we can get a copy of the video. dum, dum, dum. Mm-hmm. I may have already started this conversation. So, but no promises yet.
Mm-hmm. We do at least have a few pictures that might go up.
Yes, yeah. We do. It was so much fun. So
it was fun. So basically, so Bradford started out. He was singing the musical. He was the musical part. He was up on stage singing, and then I was having a love affair with a dildo.
Yes, Schlong the musical. Yeah. It was a love affair told from the point of view of a giant, massive dildo.
Or the home defense dildo, for those of you who know what that is.
Yes, looking at you, C&D. That's just great. So right there, C&D raised a star.
Yeah.
Yeah, they raised a star.
They did. They did. They should be so proud.
They should be. I'll totally tag them when I post mm-hmm. that. It was a lot of fun. It was fun. You know, it's great because I wasn't nearly as nervous as I thought I was going to be. And in a typical me sort of fashion, I just got up on stage and forgot exactly what I was doing and just did it. Mm. Didn't think about it. I can't tell you now how any of it went or what I did or what, but it was fun. And I think that it was enjoyable.
The scary thing is that I did the exact same thing. I just got up on stage, didn't think or pay attention. I just did stuff. And considering I was supposed to be doing things in time to what you were singing, I paid no attention to what you were singing at that moment.
I just love it. Yes.
But I think it turned out okay.
Yeah. I think it did. It was a blast. And it was very exciting and nerve-wracking in that. So when we first got there, the show started at 7:30 and we got there really early because we went right after work. So we got there at around 6:30, got some drinks. And within 15 minutes of us being there, who was to walk through the door but Jordan Raskopoulos. If you don't know who that is, she's the lead singer of Axis of Awesome, which if you don't know who that is, if you Google or YouTube, go to YouTube and search for the words song Four Chords. Axis of Awesome did this song called Four Chords.
Amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. They go through, I think it's C, A, G7, and E. I think, or maybe F, are the chords that they go through. And it's all these songs that are strung together by these four chords and how common these four chords are. And it's kind of a lighthearted comedy. They are a funny band, very funny band. They're Australian, and I have known about them for years. I remember listening to them when I was in the States. Well, no, because they're not that long. But definitely the early 20-teens. Yeah. I think I discovered them in 2010 or 2011. A work colleague introduced me. Anyway, so she walks in, and I almost lost my shit. I was so excited.
That's when you got nervous.
It is true. When I got nervous, because I was so excited that I was like, holy, I.
It's one thing to sing for strangers, but then for somebody that you actually like and, you know, they sing.
Yes. And you know, she's a hero for the transgender community. Yeah. She's a hero of music. She's a hero of comedy. And it was so exciting to sing for her. And I am embarrassed to say I did not have the courage to walk up and say hello. I really wish I had, but I just couldn't. I didn't have the courage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Something that I am afraid of. Mm-hmm. Heroes.
No.
So, yeah. So that was Rule 34. It was amazing.
Like it was so much fun.
We'll do our best to find some videos and share them. Then, the future. What does the future hold?
Well, the near future is a pendulum party.
That's right. Next, not this coming Friday, the February 23rd.
Yeah.
Pendulum party. We are selling out pretty well.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's fucking awesome, actually. So, yeah.
And if we're looking a little further into the future, mid-June, 14th to 17th, is Sexpo in Sydney.
That's right.
And we're going to be presenting with Mischief for Sex Ed in the City. Yeah. We're going to have a number of presentations there. We're going to do a couple of different topics depending on time of day. So if you're around Sydney that weekend, you want to come out to Sexpo, listen to a talk, just say hi. We'll be wandering around most of the time.
Yep.
Let us know.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be at the new convention center.
Yeah.
We've got 5 talks going on, so it's going to be...
They're shorter this time.
They're 30-minute talks.
Typically, they've been an hour, so now they've shortened it to 30 minutes to kind of work better staging-wise, which is good.
Yes.
But it does mean that, you know, we just can't ramble on as much.
Oh, no! I'm hoping to record... a couple of those, just so we can, again, send them up as podcast extras or something like that. We've got some stuff, like I said, in the pipes for y'all. Yep.
So stay tuned.
BTW, the website, is now back up, thanks in part to the sexiest IT man on earth. You've heard him on this podcast, Mr. Gray.
Mm-hmm.
We love him.
He's great. He is very sexy.
He is in my phone contacts as sexy IT guy. So, yeah.
The sexiest IT guy I've ever met.
Thank him for getting the podcast or the website back up. We are working diligently on that website to make it better for y'all. Is that everything we've got? Is that all of our housekeeping?
At the moment, yes.
We got tons of shit to housekeep, don't we?
No. Yeah.
Awesome. So,
all right.
How you doing?
Mm-hmm. So, what are we going to talk about, Dino?
I have no idea. You are in control of this podcast.
I told
tonight.
You what we were. Gonna
I know, but I'm a boy and I don't listen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about mistakes that are made in the bedroom.
Oh yes, like not listening to your partner.
Well, that kind of starts outside the bedroom, but it does translate into the bedroom.
See,
so yeah, there you go. Do you want to talk about that one more?
I know it's a flaw of mine, and it's one of those things. It's really funny, and I might ramble on for a second, but I really do listen to you, and I hear you. It just doesn't stick in my brain sometimes, and I don't know why.
You hear, you just don't care.
Is that it? Maybe that's it, because like I think it was one of those things, especially for the subject matter tonight. Like when you told me what it was, I was like, oh yeah, that's a great subject matter, and I like that. But I also know that you've got it sort of planned and you've got notes written down over there. So that means that I can trust that you are going to drive, that you got it under control. And I don't really have to spare brain cells, you know, either one of them. I drink a lot, but you know, I don't have a lot of brain cells to spare.
Mm-hmm.
That's my excuse. I don't know if it's a shitty excuse, but whatever.
It's fair enough.
Yeah.
There's times I don't listen to you either.
Whew, thank God.
Or I just don't remember.
And see, that's my thing. I wonder, it's like, was I not listening or do I just not remember?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which is worse.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think not listening is worse.
Probably because then that's an active thing.
Yeah, I am actively not listening. Of course, I guess arguably I'm actively not remembering, but yeah, I don't know.
Chicken or the egg?
Is the chicken fried?
If you made it, it is.
Yeah, then okay. Chicken.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so mistakes we make.
Uh-huh.
Are we looking at specifically the bedroom?
Mostly.
Okay.
Mostly the bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not stretching.
We'll
see
where
it goes. You get, ladies and gentlemen, the more you should stretch before you get into bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first one that I have is something that Mr. Adam is not always the best at, but he's getting better.
Oh, no.
Not asking for what you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, funny you should say
because
that.
Because your partner is not a mind reader.
That's true. That's true. That's hard. It's very hard for me. Because I feel like I shouldn't ask for what I want. And I think we've covered this before on previous podcasts. I feel like I shouldn't ask for what I want because maybe for some reason I don't deserve it. Or maybe for some reason I haven't, you know, I see it as almost an investment. You know, I put something into, my God, this, I'm now listening to what I'm fucking saying. I put something into you and then I get something out of you. And that's what felching is. God damn it. I'm 13 minutes into this podcast and I'm already not listening to myself. So maybe it is an active listening thing. I don't active listen. Anyway. But you know what I mean. I feel like I invest something into you and then I haven't invested enough, that I haven't given you enough attention to feel like I can ask for what I want.
You just don't feel like you deserve it.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's a balance issue.
But at the same time, you do deserve it. You know, whatever, you deserve to have a good time and enjoy it and have whatever you want within reason.
Or a puppy. Give me a puppy. Not to have sex.
Not in the bedroom.
Just to cuddle and sleep.
But yeah, you do. And at the same time, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a mind reader. And so if you don't ask for it, then I don't know that that's what you want.
I know.
Or maybe that's not what you want at that moment, because what you want can change from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and you're right, but still, it's so difficult, and I think it's difficult for everybody. So, thinking back to this past Sunday when we had when we were at the Sydney Queer Erotic Festival, mm-hmm. One of the exercises that we did was everybody stands in a circle, and we had two circles, I should say, one inside the other. Mm-hmm. And so you start out looking at your partner, and it's a lot of breathing and breathing together with your partner and looking deeply into their eyes. And then we did the inner circle rotates, you know, to the left. So now you've got a new partner. Mm-hmm. And so you're breathing with them. And then it was like, may I touch, you know, may I put my hand on your chest? And then, you know, so it's so that you are connecting with a new person. And so every so often you switch and you rotate again. One of the things you had to do was ask a new partner, you know, will you do something for me or do mm-hmm. something to me? And it was meant to be innocuous. Like, will you put your hands on my shoulders, or will you put your hands on my stomach and stuff like that? Even that was hard for me. But mm-hmm. I thought as I was doing it, I was like, oh, this is actually really good for me. Cause
yeah.
you know, even asking for something that
mundane
was yeah. great. And then we split off into groups, and we were groups of four. This was probably the most difficult kind of thing of like this that I've ever done. So you're in a group of four, and the goal is for 2 minutes or 4 minutes. For 4 minutes, you request what you want from these three people, mm-hmm. and they're willing or they're able to say, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. But so like the first girl went in our group, and she was like, I want somebody to hug me from behind. I want somebody to lightly stroke my legs, and I want somebody to give me a scalp massage. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And so all of us agreed that we were comfortable doing that. And mm-hmm. so then, you know, I hugged her from behind. We were sitting on the ground, and I hugged her from behind. Lady was massaging her hair and her head, and another gentleman was stroking her legs. Then it's my turn. And I'm like, like, it was just hard. It was hard to verbalize what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I managed to do it, and I got somebody to massage my hands, somebody to pull on my arms. Don't ask. I just like the pulling on the arms. And somebody to massage my ears, which I like my ears being played with. And so mm-hmm. that was really nice. It was a lot of fun. So
see, and if you hadn't asked for it, you would not have gotten that.
I know. And I'm very glad to have asked for that. I really am. And I'm going to be honest. I really wished that we had had a couple more sessions with that one young lady, because I would have said, hey, want to catch up for a coffee sometime? Because I almost had enough courage to do that at that point. But alas, much like Jordan, I didn't talk to her either.
No. Sad face.
I think I'm shy.
I have no words.
You almost spit wine on the microphone. Maybe I am shy.
All right.
I've always been shy.
Is shy different than
I'm shy?
Is shy different than introverted?
Yes.
Okay.
I am not.
Because you're not an introvert.
No. I lack confidence. Which I know most fuckers don't believe that either, but it's hell, y'all. All right. Next, talk about you. What about you? Do you always ask for what you want?
Not always. Most of the time, I'm not shy. I will ask for what I want most of the time. If I don't, it's usually because there's some, you know, ultra-logical part of my brain that says it's 2:45, we're at the swingers club, we don't have time to do that, so I'm not going to even go down that path. But if it's something that I want from a partner or partners in the bedroom, then generally I'll ask for it. And I think a good example was this past weekend. We had the gentleman over, and earlier in the week, I really wanted to, I needed some paddling and flogging time and stuff like that. And so I asked him, because we hadn't done that with him yet, and I asked him, you know, how would he feel about that? Is that something he'd be interested in? And if not, then, you know, I mean, I knew that you would be, but still I wanted to give him an opportunity, and he was immediately on board. But, you know, it's like, I feel like this is something that I need, I want at this moment, and, you know, are you willing to help me with that?
Yeah.
And because, you mean, everybody's completely free to say no. If, you know, I can ask, that doesn't mean that they have to do it.
Yeah. as a side note, I think we should get him back on so that the three of us could discuss that night, because that ranks up there, I think, in my top 10 nights ever of sex.
It was a really good night. Yeah.
Fucking crazy. But yeah. I would like to get his ideas of what he thought at the same time. Anyway, so are you more likely to not ask for what you want with me or with a stranger?
I would say probably with a stranger, because there are times as well, especially if it's somebody that is a new partner or fairly new partner, and we're still exploring boundaries and limits and what's okay, what they like as well, then I may hold back a bit because I don't want to push too far, because I know that sometimes I can be a little too strong.
Interesting.
So I do sometimes hold back a bit in that respect. And that would really be the only time that I'm not going to completely ask for what I want, is if I feel like it may push someone a little too far out of their comfort zone. Because I like to push people a bit out of their comfort zone, or at least push the boundaries a bit. But I don't want to push so far that I push them away. So sometimes, yes, I do. But I'm much more likely to do that with someone that is not a regular partner. With you, I'll ask.
I say, you tend to say exactly what you want with me.
Yeah.
Which I like. I appreciate that.
Because I also know where our boundaries and limits are, and I know what's acceptable and what's not.
And it's really interesting, too, because I know logically then that would mean that I should, you know, you're willing to ask for exactly what you want, so ipso facto, I should be able to ask for what I want. But still, my brain doesn't work that way. There is a disconnect there, which I would be disappointed if you didn't ask for what you want, but I still don't feel like I should be able to ask for it. I know it. I just
rolled my eyes.
I was going to say, you just rolled your eyes. and that's fine, because I kind of agree. But still, that's, for me, that's one of those things that's almost like my sexuality. I can't change that. That's just sort of who I am. I can work on it.
I was going to say, I will accept that you feel that way, but I don't think that you should.
Yeah, and I agree. I'll agree that I shouldn't, but it's hard to do that in the heat of the moment as well.
Yeah.
So, and I'm getting better.
Mm, you are. You really are.
I'm trying. Slow and steady. 20 more years, and I'll be like, come here, woman. Take your teeth out. I don't know why I talk like a 1909 gold miner.
It's that Kentucky upbringing.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yi-yi, motherfucker. Anyway, so what else do we have? What other common mistakes do we and others make?
The next one on my list is faking orgasms.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
No.
You've never had to. People look at you, get orgasms on the bus. True or false? Have you ever had an orgasm, no matter how small, not necessarily a big squirting orgasm, while riding either a Sydney bus or train?
Yes.
You have had one?
Yes. Yeah. Bus, not train.
Yeah.
Apparently I need to choose different trains.
I just love it. Yeah, so there you go, folks. Yeah. You heard it here first. My wife gets off on Sydney transport.
Not always. Only the buses that have like the really chug-a-lug like transmission systems, and you sit in the right spot, and
do you aim for those seats?
Well, not generally, but sometimes it happens. And if I have my backpack on for work, then I sit closer to the front of the seat because it's behind me. So then that puts you right on the edge. It's just really nice.
Do people know around you? Do they have, you think they have any idea what's going on?
I don't think so. Well, I doubt it.
That's awesome. I love it. That makes me happy.
Everybody's in their own little world. They don't really pay that much attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I have faked one orgasm my entire life.
Yeah?
The first time I had sex with a man.
Really?
Yeah. I was so nervous. I had so much issue, and I was topping, and I had a condom on so I could fake it and then quickly take it off and run away. Never again.
I know that some people will say that it's okay in certain situations to preserve people's feelings, their egos, whatever, but I don't like it, just because then not only are you not true to yourself, but you're not, then your partner, and I guess it depends if it's a regular partner or a one-off kind of thing. I mean, one-off maybe doesn't matter so much, but if it's a regular partner, then you're almost validating that whatever just happened
was good.
That was good. Yeah. And they're going to try and do it again. And if it didn't do it for you, why you don't want to do that again,
yeah.
you know? And there are times where, I mean, while I do tend to orgasm easily, there are times that it is harder, or maybe like this isn't really doing it for me. And so we might need to change positions. But again, that goes back to asking for what you want
yeah.
as well. So like, you know, it all, I guess ultimately all of this ties in together. But yeah, I think that if you fake an orgasm, unless there's a good reason or it is just a one-off and you're like, I just want to get out of here, let's do this kind of thing. Which then you shouldn't be in the situation, but whatever.
I would agree with that.
But yeah, it's, you're just validating that whatever scenario just happened was good and that that did it for you, but it didn't. And yeah, I just don't think that's a good situation.
I tend to agree. I think exactly what you said. So the more commonly you fake an orgasm with an existing partner, the worse the less likely you will ever have an orgasm with said existing partner, because they think what they're doing works.
Yeah.
And I know with you and I that I know what works. And so if my goal is for you to come, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to focus on. And then I'm like, okay, now it's my turn or
yeah.
whatever. So yeah, I think that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I need a top up of wine.
Okay. I could use one Whoop. As well. Holy shit.
That's why we don't throw things.
Nope. So the next one that I have on the list is also one that you're getting better with. overthinking. Because how many times...
You know, why do I feel like these are all my problems?
No, actually, after
See,
this...
See, that was overthinking right there.
Yeah, I'd say after this, it's actually... There's nothing else that you do. But yeah, overthinking, because it's so easy to go in the bedroom, especially with everything going on in our lives and world pressures, family pressures, everything. And you can either get sidetracked completely by other things going on in life. You can... be so focused on your partner and think, oh gosh, we haven't had as much time lately together. Is this going to be good enough? Are we going to enjoy it? You know, da da da.
And I want to make it last longer because
yeah.
we haven't had enough time, so we need to draw it out.
Yeah.
We need to, yeah.
You know, am I doing the right things? Am I wearing the right things? And you just really start all the little details nitpicking, and then you don't actually get to enjoy yourself.
Yeah. I don't overthink like that, but I do overthink.
You're not as bad in the bedroom at overthinking.
No, I overthink everything
you're
else.
You're more about, like, out in the world.
I will yeah. say, like, at the clubs, I overthink.
Mm.
And oftentimes that will prevent me from playing, is overthinking. And it is very much one of those things. If I see a couple who's been talking to another couple for an extended amount of time, I feel like, oh, well, look, that couple, they're melding or they're meshing well together. I don't want to get in the way of that. So if that one of those couples comes and talks to us, I don't want to be the one that, you know, pushes in
mm-hmm.
and takes another couple's space or position. It's, yeah, or I compare myself to the male or female and think, oh, well, I don't measure up.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not big enough. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, so I will agree with that. I do definitely overthink in mm-hmm. a group play situation. And oftentimes that affects the quality of play.
Right.
Which is, you know, you look at, even for me, like, it's not fun play
mm-hmm.
until the third or fourth time that we're playing with people. Because that's only when I start not overthinking it.
Right.
Is the first few times I'm constantly, you know, measuring up and critiquing pretty harshly myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Fine.
You are pretty hard on yourself.
I am, but that's yeah. how we grow.
That's true. Very true.
So you don't overthink at all?
I'm not going to say that I don't at all. Not near as much as you do. But there are times at the club, like you said, and it does, I would say, more so at the club. In
yeah.
a one-on-one situation, if we have a date with someone or a couple, then no, I'm pretty good at not overthinking that. Because those times I'm, because it is a much more intimate setting, I'm very comfortable asking for what I want. Also, because it's usually that elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. So, yeah.
I have seen you be like, all right, let's go get naked.
Yeah. But in the club setting, I will say that I have overthought it, you know, here and there. And that, like you said, if you see some couples talking together, even a group of couples together, and there might be someone that we're interested in, but you don't necessarily, I'm going to say, quote unquote, want to barge in.
Right.
Especially if they're a very closed group. or even down at the bar, if you know that they've been talking to somebody, you know, it's like, well, I may not necessarily want to step on their toes, because while we're there a lot, not everybody goes as often as we do, and we want them to still have a good time. I understand that that's a bit of a fallacy in that there's the big orgy room where you can get group play. It doesn't have to be just two couples.
Right.
So, it is, and I would say that we're pretty good about it, but there are times that, especially if I'm not feeling 100%, or if it is, you know, if there's something else going on where I'm just not like at, just not 100%. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, what you feel is peak performance.
Yeah, then I'm going to be more likely to be like, well, you know, they're already having fun, so I'm not going to go and, you know, it's not going to barge in kind of thing. And I don't want to drag them down, if
right.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if I'm not feeling 100%, well, I'm sure it'll still be good. I don't feel like it would be as good.
Yeah.
So, but I would say one-on-one, I do pretty well at not overthinking.
So I'm curious too, like, all right, let's say you have a new partner. It is one-on-one.
Okay.
Or a couple and us, you mm-hmm. know. Two on two, whatever. Mm-hmm. So do you ever think, like, if you're going down on a guy, are my blowjob skills better or worse than hers or his or whatever? Do you ever think stuff like that? Or do you ever wonder, like, I don't know, do you ever worry, like, am I going to be able to orgasm? Is this going to be the one time that I can't orgasm? Or
so I never worry about that. Because I know that no matter what, I'm going to have a good time. Even if I don't orgasm, then I'll still have a good time. I will say that, yes, on the blowjob skills thing, I mean, it's always a concern. You know, it's always, whenever you're going down with someone, there's always that thought of, is it good enough? Is it what they like? Because everybody likes something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you watch 10 guys masturbate, they're all going to masturbate slightly differently. And so it is a bit of, especially the first time you're going down on someone, kind of discovering what is it that they like more and don't like as much. If it is somebody that we've had a lot of previous interactions with, so maybe we've gone out to dinner, we've seen them a time or two before we play, or even more sometimes, and I feel like there's a lot more conversation that can be had, then I'll even stop sometimes and say, does this feel okay?
Yeah, or, and I've heard you say that.
Yeah, or
do you like this?
Yeah,
this
do you
good?
Like this? Yeah.
Because, how can I make it better?
Yeah, because I want to know if it's, because I do understand that most people won't ask for something different, especially in the middle of play. And if it can be better, or if you don't like what I'm doing, I would rather know at that point than at the end of the night, and we'd be like, oh yeah, I actually didn't really like that. Well, why did I do that for an hour? You know?
Yeah.
So... yeah. So if it is somebody that I'm very comfortable with and we do have that really good rapport, then I'll ask them in the middle of it. But there is always that self-doubt as to, you know, are my oral skills as good as whoever's or good enough compared to some unknown person, whatever. But at the same time, it's what I've got. And as long as I'm having fun with it and enthusiastic, then they're probably going to have fun with it too.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It's interesting because you were talking about not asking for what you want. That is the one time that I'm getting much better about asking for what I want is mm-hmm. when somebody who is not you goes down on me.
Mm.
Because I will say, almost as a blanket statement, and I don't think it's me. I think that this is going to be a truth for most men, that most women and or men, whoever is going down on you, don't fully understand. Because, and I'll explain why in a second, but people tend to be too gentle.
Mm.
It's like they're afraid of the penis. Like, when guys masturbate, you've seen me masturbate, it's like... And you've seen other male partners. It's like you're trying to rip that thing off. You know, granted, it's not for everybody. You know,
yeah.
Some people like something different, and it's not always like that. But when you want to come,
yeah.
or you are pretty rough with yourself, and I'd find in most oral situations, it's the exact same thing. Men are much more delicate than mm-hmm. women, which I think is interesting. But women themselves are pretty delicate and sort of not, it's not like they're afraid of it, but they're afraid of maybe hurting you.
Maybe.
Kind
yeah.
of thing. And I have said, and I hate the phrasing, but there's no better way to describe what you want. Like, just suck me harder
yeah.
or
yeah.
do it harder, you know. And the reason I think that most men feel this way, that that's what they want, is when I go down on their partners, you know, I do it the way I do it, which is pretty aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the response I get is always 9 times out of 10 very positive.
Why do you think that most guys are a little are more gentle than the women? Because they know what it feels like. So it seems like you would have a leg up, an advantage to that.
I still think it's the new kitten syndrome. Because a lot of the guys that we've played with are relatively new playing, experiencing their bisexuality.
Sure.
And I think it's one of those things that when you when somebody hands you a kitten, you're really gentle with that kitten.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh.
Until you find out it's psycho kitten.
Yeah, exactly. Until you find out it's psycho kitten. Or, you know, but it's when you're handed something that you've never, or that is new or delicate or perceived as delicate, you know. Because we've all had those moments with, and I'll use a cat again, and I'm not abusive of animals, but I have had moments where the cat kind of goes apeshit crazy, and I think we've all had that where you're holding a kitten, and it suddenly goes apeshit crazy, and you're like, ah, and you drop it, and you're like, oh my God, I've just killed a cat, and just sort of walks away. It's absolutely fine. You know, they're more resilient, I think, like penises. So the moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen, is kittens are like penises. They're more resilient than you might think they are, and they have claws.
Wow.
Oh, and the hairless ones are both creepy and kind of nice. What?
I was going back to the claws comment, but we'll skip over that one for now.
they both hack up hairballs? I don't know. Don't shake your head at me.
Bad, bad.
All right, moving on.
So yeah, the next one I've got is not initiating sex.
Oh my God, that's so true. Yes. I've been with partners who I was always, always the person to initiate sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how bad that feels.
After a while, you're like, do they really want it?
They're only doing it because I want it.
Right. Yeah. And then you're like, well, I'm just not going to initiate sex and see if they do. And it becomes that stubborn challenge. And then nobody does. And then nobody's getting sex. And you're both just angry.
And the next thing you know, you've not had sex for a year.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
That would be advice that I would give new couples, old couples, anybody. That it doesn't have to be 50-50.
No.
But if one partner is always the one initiating sex, that one partner is going to start to feel really bad about themselves.
Yeah.
And
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll put a caveat on that, not a caveat because that's not an out, but an extra, an addition to that, which is, you know, kissing is extremely important.
Yes.
I'm going to say in any relationship. Again, it's, you know, not everybody likes to big into kissing. But again, with previous partners, I can remember going, we would have sex 100 times and never once kiss. And for me, it was horrific.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking it was me. And you were the one that broke
me
of that.
I'm a bad kisser. I have bad breath.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Something.
I started going back a few steps back to overthinking. I know I massively overthought that. And you were the one that broke me of that because I was like, she always wants to kiss me.
Mm-hmm.
So I must have I'm not terrible. I'm not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that I would add to that is, you know, make sure that it's an equal portion of play.
Yeah.
And that you're equally trying to initiate play.
Well, kissing kind of goes into the next one I have.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead.
Skipping foreplay.
foreplay is so important.
Yeah, because there are times where you just want a quick one. You're like, okay, let's just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, great. But at the same time, if you're looking at maintaining a relationship long term, foreplay is so important. Yes. It really builds that suspense and
it builds intimacy.
Keeps the intimacy going.
You know, and we've talked about it before. Foreplay is not something that happens in the 15 minutes before sex. Mm-mm. Foreplay is something that happens if you're going to have sex in the evening. It starts that morning. Foreplay is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And foreplay isn't just kissing. It's things as small as holding hands. It's remembering that you can take off a bra with one hand. You know, that's sometimes part of the fun is undressing your partner. And that's, and I know a lot of our listeners have children, but that doesn't mean that you can't put the kids to bed, lock the door, or go out and, you know, get a babysitter and make out in the car. You know, it doesn't have to end up with sex. Yeah. Foreplay doesn't have to end in sex.
Yeah.
I remember my parents, not gross foreplay, but, you know, they would definitely, my mom would be washing the dishes. My dad would come up behind my mom and, air quotes, help wash the dishes, which meant he would always try to take the rag from her while she's washing the dishes, and which ended up in one or both of them getting splashed. And I can remember multiple times that my mom would take the little sprayer hose and spray my dad with it, you know, and that was...
But it's that playfulness.
And that's foreplay as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to not let that leak out of your relationship because it's so easy to do.
And if you do have kids, it's good for the kids to see that.
That's one of those memories of my parents that I will never forget. And just watching them love each other while washing the fucking dishes. I mean, which, again, that's weird. But I can still remember what they were wearing. It's bizarre, the things. Yeah. And I was probably 8, 9, 10, somewhere in those formative years of what love is supposed to really look like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Are you ready for the next one?
Sure.
This is one that I think we are all guilty of. Worrying too much about your looks and body image issues and being too self-conscious.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mirror is a fucking liar.
You keep saying that.
I do, because it's applicable. And I keep saying it because I'm trying to convince myself that it's the truth.
Yeah. And ultimately, I mean, by the time you get someone to the bedroom, they're interested enough to
have... You already got them there.
I was going to say, they're interested enough to have sex with you. And especially once you're naked, it doesn't matter. They're not going to see the same flaws you do. They're not worried about that. They're not focused on if your thighs are too big or whatever. That doesn't matter. That's not important.
You know, I'm going to add to that, too, with long-term relationships, with... You know, we're talking a lot about new relationships as well, but I think we should really focus on long-term relationships because, again, I've had partners who didn't ever, like long-term partners, who didn't want to have sex with the lights on.
Yeah.
Or who didn't want to have sex outside of the bedroom, or who didn't want to have sex outside of the covers.
Mm-hmm.
We were always under the covers.
Always hiding.
Always at night.
Yeah.
Always in the dark. And it had to do with body image issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. It's so much pressure to put on yourself. Your partner loves you.
Yeah.
Or if they don't love you, they really, 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 really like you. So, yeah, it's one of those things that I know, and you're right, because I do the same thing.
We've all done it. And we still do. We will continue to. Maybe not all the time, but it will creep in from time to time.
I think it's funny, and I think that most people will disagree with me on this, but I promise you, if you instate this, it does help, because this is what helped me. And I know I'm better with my own body image since we went to Passion in Paradise last October than I was before. And what have we done differently? We are naked more often in this house. We are naked more often in this house than not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, if you have kids, cart them away to the grandparents, the cousins, the aunts and uncles for a weekend and spend a full day if you can. And if you can't, 4 to 6 hours a day naked. The more time I spend naked, the more comfortable I am with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's something that has helped so much for me. And I would have never believed it had we not started doing it. But there's many times that we'll walk in the door. I love when you come home from work and I'm sitting here at the dining table or on the couch working still. And you walk in the door and it is literally like watching a creature shed its skin. Like dress will come off or skirt will drop, then shirt will come off and bra. And it's like you just sort of leave a trail.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're either just wearing your panties or you're wearing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah, and I do the exact same thing. I know that I walk in, the first thing that comes off is the pants. Mm-hmm. Like, pants are off, and I might be walking around in a t-shirt and shorts or underwear. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's...
It is true that the more time that you spend naked, the more comfortable you are with it. And even if you just start being naked by yourself, and then maybe with your partner...
Sure.
And then, you know, before moving into with other people, but just that little by little, it's still, you learn to, at least for me, I learned to accept my flaws a bit more because it's, you know, there is also, A, I have these flaws, my perceived flaws, somebody else may not see them, but what can I do about them? Either nothing or I'm not willing to put the effort in, so effectively nothing. And it's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy with who I am.
And I think that's important as well. If you're going to the gym and you're trying to perfect yourself and get it better, then yeah, good on you. But I think that I'm talking to the people like us who are fucking lazy, don't go to the gym. We
active, but not gym.
Right. We're very active. We're a very active couple.
Yeah.
We don't watch what we eat, but at the same time,
not excessive.
I've had McDonald's twice in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's, we're not.
Moderation.
But, you know, spend time naked. That is my advice and challenge to all of our listeners is to, you know, on your weekend day or hell, let the kids go to school.
Yep.
Call in sick. Chuck a sickie.
Yep.
And stay naked the full day. Watch TV naked. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you cook naked, I will warn you, do not make bacon.
Don't fry foods without an apron.
Put on an apron. That's right. So, yeah.
You don't
Personal
have to,
experience
You don't
there.
Have to get fully dressed, but at least put on an apron.
I scalded my wee-wee once with bacon. It was bad.
And is that where that scar came from?
I know.
I lick it all the time.
You do. And it probably still tastes of bacon. Yeah.
Oh, bacon dick.
Bacon dick. That's my new nickname. That's the next t-shirt we have. The first one will be hashtag porn mosh pit.
Porno mosh pit.
Porno mosh pit. The second one will be hashtag bacon dick.
Love it.
Me too.
If only you could have bacon dick in the porno mosh pit.
You probably could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in there.
Salty and smoked. What else we got?
So the next one on the list is not showing how enjoyable of a time you're having.
Oh. So this reminds me of a thing I was reading not too long ago. You know how Reddit does the, you know, these are my complaints about my partner kind of thing, or complaints about the worst partners I've ever had. Mm. Anyway, one young lady was talking about her boyfriend who he would wear a condom for protection, but she never knew where he was because he was always silent. So he would orgasm and she would never know it was coming up. It was just suddenly sex was over.
Yeah.
Because he never made a sound. And, you know, they broke up, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, I would highly encourage people to be a little more vocal. You can at least grunt a little.
Well, I was going to say, vocal and just...
You don't have to be a screamer.
Even in facial expressions, your actions, you know, you want to know that you're pleasing your partner. And how do you receive that is usually vocal, visual, by touches.
Yeah.
You know, if they grab on really hard, you know that you're doing something right.
Probably doing, or really wrong.
Yeah. And so vice versa, you know, reciprocate for them.
I would agree.
And just have a good time and show that you're having a good time.
Communication isn't always verbal.
No.
But it does help to be a little verbal.
Yes.
I mean, you can give your like pirate O face. Yar. Oh, yar. Feel me plank. No?
No.
Walk, shiver me timbers. You don't like my pirate O face?
Wow, that's a scary O face, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the hook in front.
Wait, do you feel me? Oh, you like this hook.
I do like that hook. Yeah. I cannot deny that.
See? Mm-hmm. Yar. I got me peg dildo down here. And me G-spot hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want to know how I lost this eye, but behind the patch is a glory hole.
Okay, that's the best pirate ever.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Sexy yeah. pirate.
Uh-huh. I just wonder how you get behind the glory hole.
That's never cleaned out. Yeah. That's why my mind.
There's gotta be a drain somewhere, right?
That glory hole eye is why I have such a dirty mind.
Uh-huh. Oh, bad. That's so bad. Oh god.
There you go.
Alright, let's give up on the pirate.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next one?
Sure. You told me to give up on pirates, so I gotta move on.
Being too serious.
Yeah, that's the problem we have. You know, but it's true. We've talked to friends who, like, sex is almost like a business interview.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do everything just right, clean sheets, you know, you have to...
Yeah. There's a process to go through to get there. And when you have to go through a checklist just to get to your partner into bed to have sex with them, you kind of lose a bit of the spark in the romance
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that I'm jumping ahead on something that you have down.
That's fine.
But in that, I would also include, you know, we've had friends that they have to have a shower before they have sex. I've had partners like that. You could not go down on them unless they had just gotten out of the shower. And when I say just gotten out of the shower, I mean like we were just finishing toweling off and then we would jump into bed so that I could go down on them. Look, I'm going to say this as a flat statement. If I go down on you and it's not a pleasant experience, I'm going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change. We're still going to have sex.
Yeah.
It's not going to change how
it might change the amount of oral, but
yeah, it might change the amount of oral that you experience, but I think that's probably okay for you.
Yeah.
But
as long as you're reasonably clean, I mean, come on.
But I count that into that too serious kind of thing, you know, where you have to, you like you said, you have to go through a checklist, and that checklist has to be, you know, clean sheets, and, you know, the lights have to be off, and you better have showered within the last 10 minutes.
And also, not just, I would say, not only being too serious to even get there, but also once you're having sex, I mean, it's supposed to be fun. Have fun with it. If something happens, if there's a mistake that happens or something doesn't go 100% the way you thought it would, laugh about it, giggle, move on, you know? I mean, it's, again, you're there to have fun. And the number of times that we end up not only laughing a little bit, but sometimes hysterical fits of laughter to where we have to stop having sex because of something that's happened. It's part of it, and that just really adds to it. It adds to that intimacy.
I agree, and it's funny because you've been so much better for me than anything else for that, in that I have a bad habit, and we've talked about this before, I have a bad habit of scripting things out in my head.
Yeah.
And as things go on, it's really funny and unfortunate in that I have the script, but I am apparently very greedy with that, and I don't give the script to other people. So when they miss their lines or miss their cues, then I tend to freak out, and I don't know how to improvise from that. But I have gotten so much better. I used to be, 10 years ago me was terrible about that, and I would completely shut down. I can remember stopping sex because things weren't going the way I was expecting them to go.
Yeah.
Now, I sort of just fucking roll with it.
Yeah. And I would say that this as well, kind of, I'm going to blend the next one in with this one. The next one is not talking about or expressing fantasies. And we'll touch on that a bit more momentarily, but part of that can be the fear of, you know, not only is it something my partner wants to do, et cetera, but it's out, you know, it may be out of your comfort zone. Like if my fantasy is to role play something, I've never done that before, I'm not comfortable with that. And so you think, and this is, I'm going to say largely due to porn, is that if you try something the first time, you have to be 100% like great at it. And that's not always the case. I mean, the times that we've tried something new and it may work or it may not. And either way, if it doesn't, you can laugh about it. You can giggle and say, okay, that wasn't as good as it could be, but that doesn't mean we're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
But again, it's just kind of being able to take a step back and just enjoy what you're doing. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be scripted out. you're not producing a professional porn movie. It's, you know,
it's funny because I'm going to nerd out here for just a second.
Yes.
You know, compare SpaceX, the SpaceX program.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they, if SpaceX took all of their cues from Star Trek, Star Wars, and other space movies, then after their first explosion or the mislanded rocket that they had, they would have given up. But you keep going at it, you keep trying at it, and now you have a Tesla in space.
Yeah.
Which I realize is a bit of a stretch, but I get that. But but still, the fundamental idea is still there, mm-hmm. that the first few times you try something, you may have a massive failure.
Yeah.
But you communicate about it, you go back, you may do a little more research, you may tweak the way you're doing things, and the next thing you know...
What if we do this instead of that, or... Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you may have the largest rocket ever to go into space, or the best sex you've ever had in your entire life.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the choice, I think I'd pick the sex, but rockets are cool, too.
Yeah, they're cool, too.
But, you know, I think that's important to, like you said, you have that communication, and then you...
Yeah. And then, in touching on the fantasies as well, you know, it can be difficult to bring up a fantasy or something different that you want in the bedroom, or even if it's something outside of the bedroom that may lead to play. It can be difficult, especially if you have a long-term partner, because, and I've been there in the past, is that there's always that fear of, why are you thinking that? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, it depending on how well that communication is with your partner and what kind of trust there is, you know, they can always then question, well, where are you getting these ideas from? And that's scary. Even if they're not going to, you may think that they're going to. Again, it's that scripting things out in your head and not actually living in the present and the reality.
Yeah.
But it can also be scary because, like I said, a fantasy is something that I know for me, I'm not necessarily 100% comfortable with. I may be really interested in want this to happen, but I'm not comfortable that I can actually follow through in a sexy and erotic way.
Oh, like it should be. Do you have one in your mind?
Well, no, not right now. Oh. Don't put me on the spot.
Well, did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Don't fucking put me on the spot. Yes, ma'am. I mean, no, ma'am. I mean, okay, ma'am.
But at the same time, again, if you don't try, then you're not going to get good at it.
Sorry, so. I just thought that the way you were describing this, you might actually have one in your back pocket.
No.
So I was like, oh, maybe she's actually trying to tell me that she's got one.
No.
Okay.
No.
No. We're not going to play veterinary, right? And you fix me. See what I did there? No? Okay.
No.
We can fix that in post.
Yeah. Yeah. So as well, getting too comfortable in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens easily.
Are we there yet? Are we too comfortable?
No.
Good. Yay.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are those times where, you know, you come home at 3:30, 4 in the morning, and you're like, I really want to have sex, but I'm also really, really tired. Let's just do lazy sex and go to sleep. So, I mean, there's that.
I don't even count that as sex most of the time. Most of the time, that's just like mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
It may look like sex to normal people. And actually, to some people, they'd be like, oh, my God, you were having crazy ape shit monkey sex.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, I think both of us are just like, let's just do this. We're going to get off. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm tired. We need to sleep.
But no, I would say I don't think that we're too comfortable at all because we do like to keep things fresh and mixed up in the bedroom and do different things and explore. And you know, and it doesn't have to be, it's not like every night has to be something different.
No, gosh, no.
Yeah.
But again, drawing on personal experiences, I can remember long-term sex partners that we would have the sex and we would have the sex. I mean, that's actually applicable to say it that way. We would have the sex in the same position every time we had sex. And it was mechanical.
Yeah,
is the word I would use. And that doesn't build intimacy. No. Mechanical sex doesn't build intimacy. If it's always the same, there's, I don't know. It's one of those things. Even if you always drank the same alcohol, I don't think the drunk would be the same, or the buzz would be the same. So yeah, variety is the spice of life.
And building on that as well, limiting sex to just the bedroom.
Oy, tell me about it.
So it kind of follows on that. You know, if you do always have sex in the bedroom, mix it up at some point.
I am near certain that if people knew the people that we have over to our apartment for dinner parties knew what we have done on this table.
I'm pretty sure they do.
They would not eat off. I've seen people pick up food off this table and eat it.
I'm pretty sure they know, but they also know that I clean it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But, you know, the act is still there. Would you eat off of the, any of the beds at OSS?
As long as they have clean sheets on them.
Okay, there you go. Next dinner party? Lawrence, we're talking to you, buddy.
Orgy room. We're all going to sit around the beds.
Oh, my God. And let's take a Last Supper style picture, of all of us sitting around the table eating.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do we get to have Mr. Crackles spread out over the bed?
Holy shit, now I'm craving Mr. Crackles, and we just ate dinner. Uh-huh. I'm still craving Mr. Crackles. Yeah. Thursday night. Woohoo! Okay.
All right, Mr. Crackles on the bed at OSS.
The best in the game orgy room. Best game of Clue ever. Cool. Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, challenge yourself. And I can hear the people now, but we have kids. We can't have sex outside of the bedroom.
They go to bed at some point, don't they?
Yeah, or they go to school at some point, or you do take a shower, right?
That's true.
Go in
shower sex.
Shower sex, even...
It's not always great, but it's still good.
Shower sex is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But bathroom sex is still a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the number of times that we've had sex in the bathroom where we're looking at each other in the mirror is kind of hot.
Mm.
It can be done. It can be done.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right. You have to make it a priority.
Yeah.
And the people who say you can't do it, you're just not making it a big enough priority. And I'm going to call you out on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're getting near the end. Only a few more.
Oh, no. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have not making an effort. Which we've kind of touched on a bit in a lot of these, right?
It's important to put, you know, invest.
It's a,
relationship, any long-term relationship is an investment. And the more you put in, the higher the percentage rate.
And what we always say, too, one of the things that we've often said to our therapist is that, you know, you don't buy a car and not do maintenance on it. You don't not change the oil and get the brakes done and whatever. You always do maintenance on the car. Why would you not do the same for probably the biggest investment of your life, your relationship with your partner?
Yeah. And I think it's important to say that because if we've got new listeners who haven't heard us, talked to us in the past, you know, we have done marriage counseling.
Yeah.
You know, we have done this. And it is because both of us have come from relationships that didn't end or have ended, didn't turn out the way we'd hoped they would. Yeah. So, you know, we started, like you said, you know, you don't buy a car and not do any kind of preventive maintenance on it. So, yeah.
Just keep it in check.
Keep it in check.
Yeah. Paying attention to electronics, more attention to electronics in the bedroom.
All right.
Whether that's phones, iPads, Kindles, TVs. A lot of people have TVs in the bedroom.
I am going to say this, and I'm not going to gain fans from this.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can have in a bedroom is a television.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't often call out my previous marriage, but in my previous marriage, my wife and I had a television in the bedroom. That was, I think, one of the worst decisions that she and I ever made.
My previous partners, we had TVs in the bedroom as well.
And when we split up, both of us actually even talked about it. We're like, we probably shouldn't have had a television in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know if she's now once again happy and happily married. I would love to know if they have a television in the bedroom. I'm just too much of a coward to ask. I should do it. Anyway, not important. But yeah, it's one of those things that it is something that's going to take your attention. And I remember she and I would love to go. We would go like, oh, let's go to bed early.
Yeah.
And we would be in bed by 8 o'clock and we had a TiVo hooked up to the TV and we would watch television and it was great.
And it can be good if you're snuggling and things, but then when that's all you do and you then don't have any further intimacy.
And that's exactly what happened is, you know, you would say, oh, do you want to watch something else? Yeah, let's watch something else.
And it's just one thing after another.
Do you want to watch the next episode?
And yeah,
let's watch the next episode. Excuse me. And it was something that really took the focus away from the bed. So once I was single again, what do you mount on a wall that once had an LCD TV? I had a fireplace. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. Yes.
Yep.
You make the ultimate bachelor pad. I had a ventless fireplace that you put like, I don't know.
The fuel was hard to get down here. That's why we got rid of it.
Yeah. And the fuel was basically what you would put under chafing dishes at buffets. So you would fill it with that and you'd light it and it was great. I loved it.
It was great.
Romantic to have a fireplace on the wall that, or a fire on the wall. And that was, that won me a lot of points with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Uh-huh. Yeah, but
and I would say, you know, for us personally, I think TVs are the worst offenders. But the same could be said for phones, iPads, anything Kindles, like that. Yeah,
you know, that it's definitely something that when you lay down, we try to do it where when you're in the bathroom getting ready for bed, and I'm in bed, I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah,
but within a minute of both of us laying down, I've tried to plug my phone up and put it away.
Yeah.
Then we have sex or we do whatever we're going to do, the intimate cuddling, whatever we're going to do. And then once it's clear that both of us are going to sleep, that's when I might pick up my Kindle.
If you can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
You know, or something like that.
Yeah. And I tend to agree because we do make it a point not to, you know, not to pull out the phones and things. And I even try because I'm very much a night owl, and it's really hard for me to go to bed and go to sleep. And so I'm much more likely to pull out the Kindle and read a bit before I go to sleep. But the problem with that is that then I get, you know, engrossed in whatever I'm reading, and I'll keep going until 3, 4 a.m. and then not get good sleep and then be grumpy the next day. So I've tried to be a lot better about putting that away.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm reading it before you come to bed, then that's fine. But then once we're in bed and we're intimate, then I don't pick it back up because otherwise I'm not going to get sleep and then I'm going to be grumpy and then it's bad all around.
Yeah.
So I've become a lot better at limiting electronics in the bedroom. And I would say that both of us were a lot worse about the phones in the States.
Oh, man, we were terrible.
Because of the work culture.
Yeah.
Because it was before you go to sleep, you check your work emails, you wake up in the morning, the first thing is work emails. And we're a lot better here.
Yeah, and so that would be my next challenge to listeners is you don't have to give up the TV in the bedroom.
No.
But for a week, unplug it. Challenge. Just
or put,
try.
Or put limits around it.
No, I say unplug it for a week.
Right.
Yeah, just see if you can do it. You know, not just, and I wouldn't say 1 or 2 days, because 1 or 2 days you're not changing. It's not the start of a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the number of days. People are yelling at me already for the number of days it takes to make a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I would definitely say just try it for a week and see how that does that change a your sleep patterns.
Yeah,
does that change? Best for better or worse, does that change your sex patterns? You know, how does it change your relationship?
How does it affect you? Yeah,
because you and I talk a lot. And another thing that I remember about my parents is growing up in a poor farming community in eastern Kentucky, the walls that we had were basically fucking tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that hearing my parents talk to one another because, you know, you didn't have television in the bedroom at the time. So I can remember them talking to each other. Just, you couldn't hear exactly what they were saying.
You could hear murmuring. Yeah.
And they were talking. They were sort of decompressing. They were talking about their days and, you know, maybe talking about me or talking about their relationship. They were talking.
Yeah.
And I know that the intimacy that they had is still something that I sort of strive for.
Yeah.
And you and I talk so much more in bed than any of my previous partners.
And it is both purposeful talking, you know, when we are going to bed or, you know, pre-sex, post-sex, whatever. But there's also those times where I'll be drifting off to sleep. My brain's still working on something and all of a sudden something comes to me and I just say it out loud and you'll be half asleep and kind of wake up.
Yeah.
But then that may spark then further conversation as well. But it is just having that intimacy and just knowing that you can say whatever you have to say and there's not a TV there to compete with. Because that's, for me, with my first husband, he always had to go to sleep with the TV on. And so there was always a TV on. And then if that's on, then I'm like, well, I'm not going to talk. There's nothing, you know, he's not paying attention to me. So,
well, my first wife was the same way. We talked, but we didn't talk in bed.
Right.
And so, you know, and I'm one that if the TV's on, I want to focus on the TV.
Yep.
you know, and I don't like to talk when the TV's on because I want to focus on the story.
Yeah.
Those writers worked very difficult, or very long, difficult, hard lives to write quality programming
and
for
to,
me.
To make a story arc for
yes,
you.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to respect them and the effort that they put in.
Uh-huh.
Also pay for porn.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you are going to watch anything in the bedroom, make it porn.
Make it fucking porn.
So the only other really one that I've got left is thinking that everything has to be perfect.
Yeah, and which, I think that goes back to what we've said through
a lot
many,
of
we've touched
a lot
on
of
that
them
a lot.
Touch on that. Yeah,
you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. No. That it should be fun. It should be you. I don't care how old your relationship is, you can still fumble around and be goofy. And mm-hmm. I think that sort of falls into the hygiene thing again, is that I remember, and I know you probably remember this as well in the States, Colgate is who invented dragon breath.
Yeah.
And that was the, when you wake up in the morning, what do you have? Dragon breath. And so they invented that so that people would buy their toothpaste and buy their mouthwashes. What they really, I think they hurt morning sex more than they helped their even mm-hmm. in their own sales, because people would then wake up and not kiss. And I can remember it being, you know, sure, some people may have dragon breath, but if that's a problem, you know, wake up, drink some water, have water by your bed.
Or have Listerine by the bed.
Or have Listerine by the bed. But it's, you know, drinking a glass of water mm-hmm. is going to help mm-hmm. dragon breath just as much as brushing your teeth, because I promise you're not going to notice.
No. And I had a partner previously who, before we could have sex in the morning, would get up, go brush his teeth, and then come back to bed.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fine, sure, but at the same time, it takes that spontaneity away.
Yeah. Because
and it's like, I don't really care. Let's just...
And I don't care either. And that's... You were the first person who really sort of, you know, woken that in me.
Yeah.
Is that, wow, we can actually kiss in the morning after waking
Loss.
Up. I know, right? But it's still, it's the truth. It doesn't matter. It's things that are important are important. And I'm going to say that mm-hmm. as intimacy, and we make certain things important, and we control what is important in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So if cleanliness is, you know, the only thing you think is important, then maybe you should reevaluate what you truly value in the bedroom.
Well, and let's preface that by saying that cleanliness is important, but if you take it to the excess.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to, if cleanliness and hygiene is the only thing you're concerned about, you know, perhaps you should reassess.
Yeah.
Because your partner wants you for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say don't make an effort and be...
Oh, for sure. Definitely make an effort.
Yeah. But, I mean, we are also talking about a couple, us, who shower every day and you brush our teeth at least once, if not twice a day. And, yeah.
We try to be clean. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially before a play session.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that's enough. That's a lot of mistakes that we make at the bedroom, babe.
Yeah. No. And fortunately, we have both made and have had made those mistakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's something that with Valentine's Day being today, reassess your relationship. Always reassess your relationship. Yeah. There's always things that we can do better. There's always things that we forget. We get lazy.
Yeah.
All of us get lazy.
Yeah. Just grow, change, enjoy. Have fun with it.
Yeah. And for Valentine's Day, I got you a promise that I will not be lazy.
Aww.
I hope you like it.
I do.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, as always, for listening. Mm-hmm. We are working hard to make your life more exciting.
Exactly.
Come see us at Pendulum. Next Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, that's again Friday, February 23rd. Yeah, happy dance.
Yes.
Come check us out at Sexpo. We've got, before Sexpo, we have another Pendulum party and a new ladies' night that we're working on with Our Secret Spot.
More details to come.
Yeah, that it's going to be epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be epic. Let me tell you right there. I'm going to lay it out. If you want to keep up with information on things like that, email us if you want specific details, and you cannot wait. Send us an email, theadamsoflove@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at By The By Podcast, Facebook, By The By Podcast, Instagram, By The By Podcast. Yeah, it's basically By The By Podcast everywhere. And our website, www.bytheby.com.au. Thank you again
to the sexy IT guy.
IT guy in Straya. We really appreciate it, all the work that he's done. So, anything else you want to
say? No, I think we're good for the week, yeah.
Awesome. And we'll catch you guys next time. Stay sexy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.